Welcome to Your Family's Health. This is Professor Joan Buckley from the Department of Nursing here at Nassau Community College. Your Family's Health is a program that focuses on healthcare issues and resources that are available to you here in Nassau County. On the show, we speak to experts from around the country trying to keep you up to date on current healthcare issues and trends. Today, we're going to be speaking to Dr. Henry Prince, the Medical Director of Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. We're going to talk a little bit about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. So if you want to know more about how to stay healthy in Nassau County, stay tuned for the next half hour to 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College. So welcome to the show, Dr. Henry Prince.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Now, we know you've been practicing on Long Island for over 30 years, and it wasn't always specifically with the HBO or hyperbaric oxygen therapy. It was in gynecology and other things. So what kind of turned it around to where this became so important? And I know it is. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that this is really up and coming.
Well, I agree. I was, as you said, I've been a practicing obstetrician gynecologist for 32 years, and I still deliver babies, and I just love what I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I was presented an opportunity to learn more about hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and I realized that when I heard it, I knew nothing about it. I didn't even really know what it meant, what it did, what it was. So I started learning, and I actually took a course in hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and after that I spent several hundred hours educating myself. And I learned about the healing properties of oxygen, the physics of gases and oxygen therapy, and why and how it works. And it all made such great sense. And the opportunity to help people in a natural sort of green environment was really very fascinating. And hyperbaric oxygen therapy is right on the cusp of between sort of conventional medicine and non-conventional or holistic medicine.
And we've been using it for a long time. I mean, I know that I went to a conference, an emergency room nursing conference last week, and it actually was a big part of the topic because summer with divers and all that. They've been using this therapy for years with the bends or, you know, when they come back up too fast?
Decompression illness.
Decompression illness.
Yes.
That's right. And people get that for 2 weeks after. So they had treatments and they talked about it. And then this came up to have you on the show. And I thought it was like perfect timing.
Yes.
And so it has come a long way.
Yes. Well, right? Hyperbaric oxygen therapy has been used since the 1800s. Very often it was used sort of in a quackery type of way. It wasn't until the early 1900s, where they began to be able to have oxygen available more easily. And in the late 1930s is when they started using oxygen therapy for decompression illness, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
But the first time they used it wasn't for divers, per se. It was for the men, the construction workers, who were working deep underwater to build the bridges.
Wow.
So those people were put into a dome with high pressure to keep the water out, and then when they came out, they were getting sick. And it was a result of decompression illness, which is a not nitrogen toxicity. And that's when they first started using hyperbaric oxygen therapy to treat that. But it's come a long, long way since. In the 1970s and 1980s is when we started really using hyperbaric oxygen therapy for some more standard conditions. And since then, since the 1970s and 80s, we've come a long, long way adding to the list of potential diagnoses that we can treat.
So when you talk about standard conditions, what are you referring to? Are you referring to, I know, our burn units, right?
Yes.
They were very, very important in the healing process for burns. Is that what you're talking about, standard conditions like basic? I know somewhere I read, because, you know, with knowing I was going to speak to you today, they used it for headaches.
Yes.
In the early 2000s, right?
Yeah. 2004. Whenever you talk about hyperbaric oxygen therapy, you have to immediately have to divide it in between what's called on-label and off-label diagnoses.
Okay.
The on-label diagnoses are diagnoses that are FDA-approved diagnoses for which hyperbaric oxygen therapy is or can be used. Now, that doesn't mean that the off-label are dangerous or not good. It just means that to date, the FDA does not feel that there's enough information or someone hasn't gone through the very expensive process of the studies that are required to prove to the FDA that hyperbaric oxygen therapy is effective. So the on-label diagnoses are, as you said, severe burns, carbon monoxide poisoning, crush injuries, severe anemia. Some of the ones that we see more often in our office are severe infections, chronic bone infections. Non-healing diabetic wounds are probably one of the biggest concerns, and because these can often lead to loss of limb. Mm. Arterial insufficiency ulcers also can lead to loss of limbs. Radiation injuries, and people who have late radiation injuries, and this can be years after they receive radiation for treatment of a cancer or some other illness, and they can have skin breakdown, they can have problems with their jaw if they need any dental therapies. Also, if someone needs a flap for a repair of a burn injury, or even as a result of a plastic surgical procedure, if the skin isn't healing well, then hyperbaric oxygen therapy can be used. And it, essentially, hyperbaric oxygen therapy heals wounds.
And why does it do that? That's key. There's a key component to
it. That is what it does. And there's no doubt in anyone's mind that it heals wounds.
Right.
And it does that because it is one of the only drugs that you can think of that actually turns on genes. So hyperbaric oxygen therapy is absolutely required for the production of collagen, which is sort of what keeps us together. It's absolutely required for your white blood cells to fight infection. And it's a marked anti-inflammatory, it has a marked anti-inflammatory response, so it reduces inflammation, it reduces swelling. But what it also does, and which is again, unique to any drug, is that it releases stem cells and helps the production of new blood vessels, something called angiogenesis. So all these things combined, the oxygen bringing new blood, producing new blood vessels, reducing infection, reducing inflammation, it is sort of the hallmark of a healing drug. And that's what it does. But it does that on the outside for burns, for wounds that aren't healing, for arterial ulcers, but it does it on the inside of the body as well.
So generally speaking, then, it's we've been using it for healing. But it could benefit someone who really doesn't have anything per se to heal as just a treatment, do you say? Like if someone's just plain old anemia. So if we just go with anemia, right, which is just low oxygenation in the blood, and people do feel tired and things like that, would a treatment like this benefit them?
Well, the answer is yes. But
yes.
If someone has very, very severe life-threatening anemia, then
right.
It could be life-saving.
Right.
If someone has a mild anemia, it could make them feel better while they're in the chamber, and it can stimulate the production of new red blood cells. But it's, you know, when they get out of the chamber, they're not going to necessarily feel that much better for a long period of time. It's really when there is an injury to the body.
Okay.
That needs to be healed. And again, these injuries can be inside or outside. And they can be subtle injuries, things like concussions, headaches, traumatic brain injury isn't subtle, but it can be anywhere from a subtle injury to a severe injury like traumatic brain injury or stroke.
Now, when you looked at, and that I thought was fascinating because I did read through the FDA approved, you know, areas that it's been used, and the stroke issue. Do you have, are there studies done right now, or have they been done that show, like, something that the audience would understand? Like, if someone had a stroke, which was, so debilitating that they no longer could do what they did before the stroke, would hyperbaric therapy benefit them, or is it part of the rehab piece where they've started to get things back? Like, how exactly does it work? Because you talked about the inflammatory response, that it kind of helps with reduction of inflammation.
Well,
is there a special place where this would work better for, say, someone with a stroke?
If someone with a stroke, first of all, I want to make certain it's clear. At this current time, mm-hmm. strokes are not on label for hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
Oh, they're the off label.
Not FDA approved. Neither is traumatic brain injury, but traumatic brain injury, we'll discuss hopefully later, because that's very exciting, is, I think, on the cusp of being a approved condition. But talking about strokes, a stroke can be either a blood clot or a bleed into the brain. And both result in areas of destruction of brain tissue. and decrease oxygen to that part of the brain that is not no longer getting blood, either as a result of the blood clot or the bleed. Now, what hyperbaric oxygen therapy does is, and this can be even have an effect years afterwards, is it reduces the inflammation. And of course, after any injury, there's an inflammatory response. But the key to hyperbaric oxygen therapy involves a concept called the ischemic penumbra. And no one's going to test anybody on that. But basically, if you think of a bullseye, and you think that right in the center of the bullseye is where there's the most damage to the brain tissue as a result of decreased oxygen from a stroke. But going out, like in circles, further and further and further away, is brain tissue that isn't dead, but is not working like normal brain tissue because it's not getting enough oxygen. It's getting enough oxygen to survive. Now, the brain is more dependent on oxygen than any other organ in the body.
Right.
So it needs a fair amount of oxygen to work normally. But it can survive at lower amounts of oxygen. So these areas that surround the area of most of maximal damage are the areas where we can treat. We can wake up these brain cells by bringing new blood vessels. This, again, angiogenesis, the production of new blood vessels, stem cell production, reduced inflammation, more oxygen, higher oxygen concentrations, new blood vessels can bring oxygen to these areas of the brain that were receiving much less oxygen and wake them up. Now, we don't recommend hyperbaric oxygen therapy standalone because most of the patients who've had strokes, they're having physical therapy and occupational therapy and speech therapy. But we add the hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and we've seen amazing results. Now, in the United States, there are not many studies, but elsewhere in the world, there are. There was just published recently a great study out of Israel, which showed significant benefit in stroke patients. So there are studies out there, not a lot of them coming from the United States, but there are studies in the world's literature that are very optimistic for the treatment of stroke.
You know, this is a really good time for a break. So you're listening to Your Family's Health on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College. This is Joan Buckley. And after this short break, we're going to continue talking with Dr. Harry Prince about hyperbaric oxygen therapy.
If you would like a podcast of today's program, go to itunes.ncc.edu. Once again, that is itunes.ncc.edu. And click on WHPC.
WHPC.
Welcome back to Your Family's Health. This is Joan Buckley, and we welcome back our guest, Dr. Harry Prince from Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. We've been talking about a little bit of the research that was involved in the hyperbaric oxygen therapy, Dr. Prince, and you were saying how it's global. Everybody's concerned about this and the use of it. Everybody's excited about the use of hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And I have found that, too. Every time I look up a research article, it's never from local. It's always out of the United States. But do you see this kind of therapy being part of in the future? I mean, I know it's still fairly new, but it's been around like 100 years. With like our acute protocols, because we had a heart attack. So we had the heart attack 911. Now we have brain attack, you know, 911. It's such a debilitating event when someone has a stroke. Do you see them eventually maybe considering hyperbaric oxygen as part of a protocol for someone that's had an injury?
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so because, again, in any stroke or issue, you're dealing with, or even a heart attack, you're dealing with decreased oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
What could be better than putting somebody into a high-oxygen environment? And understand, you know, it's so much different when we treat with hyperbaric oxygen therapy. It's so much different than just putting a oxygen mask on somebody. When you put an oxygen mask on somebody, you can raise their oxygen a slight amount.
Right.
When we put somebody in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber and add pressure, 100% oxygen with pressure, we can increase the oxygen going to all parts of their body by about 1,400%, 14 times more oxygen than they were getting at room air at sea level. So
okay.
It's an amazing change.
I mean, the positive parts are totally amazing. Are there any negative parts to this treatment for the average person that's been approved to go in? And I'm sure there's criteria. Is there any negatives to the hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
The answer to that is very, very few. And that's one of the beautiful things about hyperbaric oxygen therapy. You know, I tell patients who come in for many different diagnoses, I say, you know what? No one can ever guarantee it any therapy is going to help. But what I can tell you is if I don't help you, it is almost impossible for me to hurt you. So under supervised treatment, the risks of hyperbaric oxygen therapy are very, very, very small. There are people who shouldn't be treated in hyperbaric oxygen therapy, people who have very severe heart disease whose heart can't tolerate the increased pressure, people who have who have had a spontaneous lung collapse in the past because their lungs may not be able to tolerate the extra pressure. People who have out-of-control diabetes. People who have out-of-control seizures. But if you have a seizure and you're taking medication, it's fine. If you're controlled in diabetes, it's fine. If you have heart disease and you're able to tolerate normal activity, it's fine. So there are very, very, very few contraindications. Now, as far as side effects, the most common side effect is what we call ear squeeze or some middle ear discomfort. And almost all of us have experienced this kind of discomfort when you're flying and you're going to land.
Yeah, ears pop, yeah.
You feel that the pressure in your ear.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing when we increase the pressure in the chamber, but we teach our patients how to equilibrate, how to make their ears sort of pop. So the risk is extremely small.
Yeah. You know, I looked on your website and it shows you have a number of members of the team that work with the patient as they're undergoing therapy. Could you explain a little bit about what someone would expect when they were to come to your facility on recommendation? I'm thinking of their practitioner. What would they expect?
Well, we are a freestanding facility and it's very different than a hospital-based facility. But when you come to our facility, we have the same standards as any hospital practice. And the first thing that happens to any patient who wants to undergo therapy, even if they've been referred by a physician, is they have to see me or one of my physician's assistants. They get a complete physical, a history, and make sure that there are no contraindications to hyperbaric oxygen therapy. But also as part of that, they get a very, very sort of a crash course on what hyperbaric oxygen therapy is because most people have no idea. And in addition, we give them a very extensive safety course because there are very, very important factors that have to be taken into you have to understand before you can go into a chamber. When you go into a chamber, you can wear nothing but what you were born with and cotton. So no nail polish, no jewelry, nothing electronic, nothing that can create static, because the worst thing that could happen in a high oxygen environment is a spark or anything electronic. So we are very, very conscious of all safety issues. So a patient goes into the chamber, they wear a grounding pad, and again, they have to take a crash course on hyperbaric oxygen safety, and that is reinforced before they go into the chamber each time.
And that makes sense because that fits with the way we're supposed to be dealing with our patients anyway, educating them, letting them, they should know what's going on and everything about it. So that makes perfect sense.
Yes. And every one of our patients, there's either physician or physician's assistant on premises during treatment. And that's critical because not all freestanding facilities offer that.
Right.
So we have the same high standards as a hospital. But being a freestanding facility, we are able to treat conditions that hospitals are not able to treat.
Right. Now, I noticed on when I viewed it that there's communication. So even though the person is in a chamber, they still have they can talk to one of the practitioners that's in the room or in the facility if they need to. They're not totally isolated, are they?
That is correct. It's not like having an MRI where you feel like you're totally enclosed.
Right.
It's an acrylic chamber. People are severely claustrophobic. I think in all the time I've been treating patients, there was only one patient who couldn't tolerate it. Usually, if we can get past the first treatment, even people with severe claustrophobia, they say, hey, this isn't so bad. They can watch television through the acrylic. There's a tech right next to the chamber who is in constant contact with the patient, should be there any concerns. So you're never left alone, not for a second.
Yeah, I thought that was so nice. I honestly probably was the patient that couldn't tolerate it, though. I don't know. It looked really good, and the fact that it is clear and everybody's calm, it's a really beautiful environment. And hospitals are okay, too. And a lot of times it's the personnel that creates the real, you know, meat and potatoes of a place. And you know, from what I've read about your team, they're all extremely qualified to be involved in this. Is there anybody on your team that you consider crucial or everybody's important?
Well, everybody's important, but we have one person. Her name is Janice Riley. She's a certified hyperbaric registered nurse. She's probably one of the most experienced nurses in hyperbarics in the country. She's been doing this for something like 15 to 20 years, and she has set up by herself two hospital facilities and two of our facilities. So she knows everything there is to know about setting up hyperbaric center. She's a stickler for safety, and she is probably our most important person.
Well, I mean, nurses are like that. We are rule followers.
They are.
You know, we can't let one rule go undone. But now with this, now so say you're not in the hospital. So in a hospital, it may be something that would be suggested, like in an emergency, like say they had wounds that were healing and they would make sure you got to the place with the hyperbaric chamber, right? Either transported you or whatever. If I was a private consumer and I thought, like say I had really bad arthritis and I had read that, you know, this really helps with inflammation and it might give me some relief, would I then go to my primary and have my primary contact you? Or do people actually contact you directly? Because it looks like you take all the insurances that I've heard of, you know?
Well, it can work both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But again, important to understand that whether you come by yourself or referred by a physician, you still will see one of the doctors or physician's assistants primarily.
Mm-hmm.
But patients can certainly self-refer. Now, we do take almost all commercial insurances, including Medicare.
Yeah, I saw that.
But that takes care of the consultation. The actual treatment may not be covered if it's off-label.
Oh.
So many of the treatments that we offer,
right,
which are very effective and we're very excited about, unfortunately, most of the insurance do not cover. So we work out we bend over backwards to make this something that people can do because we are so dedicated to helping our patients. And this, in many situations, we have helped and treated patients that have done everything else. They've gone through all the physical therapy, occupational therapy. They have done everything their doctors have asked them to do, and they're still not getting better. And they come to us, and we can help them. And that's one of the most, you know, I call them aha moments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you don't often get those in medicine, but once a week, I go to the my office in the Hyperbaric Medical Solutions, and I see a patient literally getting up out of a wheelchair. You know, it sounds corny and it sounds silly. And it's not miracle, it's science, but we're helping patients. I can't guarantee we help everybody, but we're having such a positive effect on so many patients. It really is, it's a real pleasure to go to work.
Oh, that's so nice. I mean, that's really what they say when you go to work and you love going there, it doesn't matter if they pay you. So it's like that is a really important part about having a job that's rewarding. Now, with the This is what I was saying. So we talked a little bit about, you did want to talk about the traumatic brain injury, so I don't want to leave that short, because that is pretty, that's, you know, we have a young population on Long Island, we got a lot of people on Long Island, and traumatic injuries are high. Yeah, we have a lot of them.
Yes, I'm very anxious to talk about this because it's sort of a personal thing for me. I have a son who served two tours in Iraq. He was West Point grad, served two tours in Iraq, and came back not with traumatic brain injury, but with PTSD, which may be a sort of minor symptom of traumatic brain injury. But not only are we seeing a high number of traumatic brain injuries as a result of car accidents on Long Island, but thousands of veterans coming back from Afghanistan or Iraq. The average Marine over there suffers somewhere between 6 and 8 concussive events from these IEDs, these explosives. So many of them are coming back. They're committing suicide as a result of these traumatic brain injuries and the PTSD. They are coming back crippled, and there's nothing to do for them. Yes, occupational therapy, physical therapy, but there is a study going on now. It's called the National Brain Injury Rescue and Rehabilitation Study, or NBIRR, N-B-I-R-R. And it's already into its second phase, and it's showing really, really positive and promising results for the treatment of traumatic brain injury with hyperbaric oxygen. And it's the only thing that can really help these people. So I am very excited. We believe that if it wasn't for the fiscal crisis in the country, we believe that it would already be on label for the veterans at least. Mm. And we believe that even despite that, there is progress going on both on the state and federal level to make hyperbaric oxygen therapy a covered condition for veterans at least. And once it happens for veterans, we believe it will rapidly become standard of care.
Right, and the veterans, you're absolutely right. That is so true. We see it even on the campus. We have a lot of veterans, and they're young, and it's like you know, you just want to give them what they should get. Now, before we leave, I just want to give you the opportunity to just give our listening audience either your website or some more information about ways they could contact the Hyperbaric Medical Solutions facility.
Certainly. So we have two offices, one in Woodbury and one in Medford. The telephone number for both offices is the same. It's 516-802-5025. And we have a very educational website, hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com. And everything I've said today is available on the website. There are testimonials. There are studies. There are a list of the conditions that are covered by insurance and conditions that may not be covered. And it's a very educational and comprehensive website. And I would certainly encourage anybody to visit our website or come to our office for a consultation, because the consultations are covered by insurance. Let us teach you more about hyperbaric oxygen therapy and find out whether you would be a candidate.
Excellent. We want to thank our guest, Dr. Henry Prince from Hyperbaric Medical Solutions, for being with us today. And we want to thank you for listening to Your Family's Health.
This brings an end to another edition of Your Family's Health on 90.3 FM, the voice of Nassau Community College. If you would like a podcast of today's program, go to itunes.ncc.edu and click on WHPC. Joan Buckley is Professor of Nursing at Nassau Community College. Your comments are always welcome at whpc@ncc.edu. This program was produced at the studios of WHPC 90.3 on the campus of Nassau Community College. Join us again next week for another edition of Your Family's Health.